Dr. Meza, things change so fast, so we should say at the outset that we're taping this on Monday. I want to get your sense of the mitigation, how it's working in El Paso County with more than 100 cases now, and in New Mexico with more than 600 cases.
Currently, the resources that are available to manage the volume of patients has been appropriate to the needs of the current number of cases. We obviously are anticipating that in the next couple of weeks, probably 1 or 2 weeks, there will be an upsurge in the number of patients that will need to be hospitalized. And therefore, all the preparation is being aimed at being able to match the needs that are coming in the near future.
Are you concerned about that, keeping up with things? As we've seen in New York City, it's been very hard to do so, but that's a very different situation from what we're seeing in El Paso and for that matter, really, at this point, in New Mexico.
Of course, there is a concern of what is going to be the volume and what's going to be the capacity of any system to match those numbers. If we take into account that we have always, you know, been able to very competently provide those services, then we should feel that we have been prepared for that event. Mm-hmm. However, if we do not have things that may be more high cost or high-end equipment, and I'm really mainly talking here about ventilators, then it's not going to be that easy to get them. I know that the state of Texas is right now prioritizing the use of these devices so they can be only helpful for those groups of populations that need it the most. And hopefully we will be able to get those resources once the need comes to our border area.
You know, I'm sure as you know, countries like South Korea have been more successful in stopping the spread of the virus, but they have had much more extensive testing and then quarantine, not only of those testing positive, but all those who came in contact with people who test positive. Would you like to see something like this in the United States to not see the enormous growth in cases like we've seen in places like New York City?
It is always more of an advantage to know information than not to have that information available. So it is, I would say, a common sense approach to make a diagnosis to the largest number of people that are going to be or have been affected by this infectious condition. Now, the reality of it is that for purposes of action, in many of these situations in the past and in things that are in this delay of being able to tell who is sick and who is not, most of the actions end up being made based on what we call a clinical syndrome. That means that if you have a patient in the middle of an outbreak who has the symptoms that are consistent with the condition, the testing will only confirm what you already suspected. And that is when the value of doing the testing will be most useful. And one of the reasons why at this point the priority of testing is being done for those who are very sick, it is because in the reality of limitation of accessible test kits for COVID-19 virus, we have to put them on those individuals who will benefit from getting tested to make sure that that's the condition that we are dealing with. It is also important that we test for other infections, as we know, the influenza and all the viruses, because if this patient has COVID, they may also have a co-infection that may make their clinical presentation worse.
Doctor, I was absolutely stunned on Monday morning when I saw that Georgia's governor reopened beaches in that state. Some pastors are still holding church services. Do things like this really beg for the United States to have federal orders on COVID-19?
As you may imagine, the ability of the federal government to control some of these situations has been shown to be very limited. I think that it's not from the medical and from the public health point of view, there is no question that limitation of dissemination of any condition is a good intervention. However, it seems like many of these localities or cities or states are not understanding the value of intervention. And I have seen across the world that some countries even are taking that approach. There is some understanding that in a situation when there is no control of this virus, the mortality is going to increase. However, some other people are under the assumption that if everyone gets sick, then the immunity of the herd of the population is going to contain this. I mean, if I were to be given a choice, that would be the worst choice to select, to let everyone get infected before, because that will come with a very high mortality rate. And I think that's what all these states are going to end up facing. And I don't know how they're going to be made accountable, but that's very disturbing.
It certainly is. This next question may be too difficult to predict. So if it is, just tell me that. But with what you know about this virus, what do you expect in terms of how long it will take before the social distancing and stay-at-home orders will need to be in effect?
I am going to quote the person that I believe has the highest authority and been able to articulate the answers much better than anyone else, and that's Anthony Fauci, the director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases. He uses the analogy of a wave. You know, he states that there is going to be several waves, and I think that those waves are going to be the ones who will predict the next course of action. Therefore, if the wave hits a peak eventually, depending on how high that peak was, the models that they are using to predict the next wave are going to be more accurate. And I think that right now, the uncertainty of knowing the future is based on the fact that no one is really absolutely sure if that peak of the wave has been reached. That's why every day when you hear Governor Cuomo and all these individuals talk about the glimpse of hope, is because they see that maybe that peak has been reached, and modeling based on those information will be a lot more useful. So it's going to depend on the first wave and how high that wave is going to go.
Okay, a lot unsure as we face this crisis here and across the country, but certainly we need good information, and we appreciate you providing that to our community through KRWG Public Media. Thank you so much.
Thank you.